This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
It's Tuesday. It's Hot Tech time. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, joins us on the line. Jan, good afternoon to you. Thanks once again for joining us.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Quite a few topics we want to unpack this afternoon. Jan, let's get going with kissing Apple and Samsung goodbye. We're dealing with Chinese flagship smartphone face-off. What's happening here?
Yeah, we compared a bunch of devices from the Chinese smartphone manufacturers that are coming up in South Africa. That includes Honor, Oppo, Vivo, that are all, you know, making a good showing in South Africa, with Huawei's fortunes in decline as a result of it being on the U.S. entities list. Mm-hmm. And so that's left a huge gap in the market for a contender to Samsung in the Android space to step up. And Oppo, Vivo, Xiaomi, Honor are all offering smartphones in South Africa. What was interesting is we decided we're only going to look at the devices that are officially sold in South Africa, not parallel imports, not a gray import, and not a sort of direct, an import or a custom import that you have to do yourself.
Right.
And what was interesting there is that most of them don't actually bring their flagship devices into the country. They focus on the mid-range. Now, what's also interesting is that their mid-range devices are more than competent. They're very good. And so they kind of play in the 10 to 15,000 rand space, mm-hmm. whereas, you know, the flagships are, you know, 20,000 rand to 25,000 rand. And it was interesting to see that I think it's basically only Honor that has its flagship available, the Honor Magic available in South Africa, the Honor Magic 6 Pro, I should be specific.
Okay.
And that means that, you know, when you're looking for the absolute top of the range, unfortunately South Africa is still kind of playing second fiddle when it comes to these brands, whereas Samsung obviously brings the S24 and the Note into the country directly, and you can buy it here.
Right.
And so for people looking for the absolute top of the range, the options are unfortunately limited. But there's a great mid-range to choose from in South Africa.
Okay, and where does Huawei fit into the picture, Jan?
Huawei's it's still operating in South Africa, and uh-huh. it still offers its highest end devices in South Africa. But the major problem with Huawei is that they no longer can support Google Mobile services, and they can't offer 5G on their new smartphones as a result of U.S. sanctions placed against them. So for many people, that's not a huge deal. Like not being able to access Google Mobile services, you can still, you know, watch YouTube in the browser. You can still jump through some hoops to get Google Maps working, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And Huawei offers its own sort of competing maps product or service. And, you know, for a lot of people, that's fine. But there's many more people who are deeply, deeply embedded in the Google ecosystem, in large part because of Android, because of how intertwined Android is with the Google ecosystem. And so, we've seen Huawei's market share in rapid decline in South Africa as a result of that, unfortunately.
I must admit, I haven't heard of these two brands, the Dark Side of Temu and Shine, if I pronounce them correctly. These are online Chinese shopping stores. What's going on with them?
Yeah, so the Temu and Shine, Shein has been in the country for a while, and they've kind of become known as like a fast fashion type outfit. You get really cheap clothes from them at a reasonable, you know, you get, or I should say, you get okay quality clothes at a reasonable price.
Okay.
From them. So they offer affordable, low cost clothing that still looks good, right? That comes with certain caveats, and it's the same thing And before them was Wish, that had this online marketplace for cheap goods. And now there's Temu that is trying to make inroads into the market. And it's not just in South Africa that they're pushing into the United States as well. And that's caused some blowback for them in the United States, because they're coming in at really aggressive prices that, you know, one can only explain by being below cost.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that there have been concerns raised over Temu and Shein's labor practices, their data handling practices, as well as the impact on local jobs, right? The dark side that's being referred to here is just kind of be aware of you know, what's happening, like what allegations are being made, and just make an informed decision before you buy from them. That's essentially what it comes down to. In the case of Temu, they have, and in some cases Shein, they have specifically denied a lot of the allegations. So, for example, Temu has denied that they make use of cheap or forced labor or slavery. Temu, it should be emphasized, Temu is a marketplace. And so, yeah, they've got a code of conduct for their marketplace sellers, but do they really know for sure what is happening throughout their supply chain? And then one must raise the question, does Amazon or Takealot know 100% of what's happening in their supply chain? And so what US lawmakers are doing is they are demanding a independent, transparent report to verify that Temu is not making use of any kind of exploitative labor practices. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason for this is there was an independent investigation done by Channel 4 and The Eye in the UK, and they found just like a wide range of labor practices inside Temu's supply chain. In some cases, people were paying what seemed to be a fair wage. And in other cases, people were paying like literally 69 cents per item of clothing that they make. Even if you make like 500 items of clothing in a day, you are not making, you know, a ton of money. So that's kind of what this is about, are they employing not just sustainable, right, but fair labor practices? Mm-hmm. Just to emphasize, Temu has denied these allegations outright. They've also said that they do not engage in any kind of dodgy personal data harvesting practices. There's been some specific allegations around that that we might not have time to get into right now.
Sure, of course.
But just so that people know and so that they can do their own reading about this. Mm-hmm. The allegations made against Temu, very similar allegations have been made against Facebook. Now, Facebook's not an e-commerce platform except for its secondhand marketplace, or its marketplace that has generally been used for secondhand goods.
Okay.
But Facebook is one of the big Silicon Valley players that's been accused of harvesting people's private data to essentially get an advantage over rivals like Snapchat. And there's also allegations that Facebook was harvesting data that was meant to be encrypted before it acquired Instagram. And so it was gathering these analytics to try and determine whether Instagram was a good buy or not, and harvesting analytics from Snapchat to figure out how to build a competing product,
right,
inside Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. So yeah, dodgy practices all around, but I think it's worth bearing in mind before you click that buy button, and just so that, you know, people make informed decisions about you know, who they spend their hands with.
Vigilance, due diligence, those words come up again, once again, Jan. I just wish we could have just unpacked one more topic, but Jan, we've just about run out of time, and thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive, just to bring us the latest in the world of hot tech. Jan Vermeulen, the editor at My Broadband.